Welcome to worship here at Duke University Chapel for the final time in 2023. All are welcome to Duke University Chapel as we strive to emulate the all-encompassing love of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Today we are joined by guest preacher Reverend Molly Brummett Woodell. Reverend Woodell pastors at Emmaus Way Church here locally in Durham. She is theologically trained at Wake Forest University School of Divinity and is an ordained Baptist minister. She works and serves closely with a lot of local nonprofits and advocacy organizations, and a prolific preacher. We are extremely blessed that she is here with us today. Please take a moment to look through your worship guide to find all of the upcoming activities taking place here at the chapel. You can become involved in book groups, service projects, Bible studies, and many, many more. Your attendance is a gift and is an encouragement to others. So now let us rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Friends, like a great light in a land of deep darkness, the mercy of the Lord shines upon us. And so we prepare to offer our confession and step into the radiance of this very mercy, not alone, but together. So let us pray our prayer of confession together now. Almighty God, who sent a star to guide the Magi to the holy child Jesus, we confess that we have not followed the light of your word. We have not searched for signs of your love in the world or trusted good news to be good. We have failed to praise your son's birth and refused his peace on earth. We have expected little and hoped for less. Forgive our doubt and renew in us all fine desires, so that we may watch and wait and once more hear the glad story of our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the promise of the Lord. See, our salvation has come. We are claimed and called, redeemed, sought out, never forsaken. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And friends, the peace of Christ is abundant, but it is not always easy. So let us begin to share this peace with the world by starting right here, offering a gesture or a word to our neighbor near at hand. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your worship guide. Almighty God, pour upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, glowing in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights. Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you host of heaven. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars. Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created, who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them a law that shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters in all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, doing God's will. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the world. Young men and maidens, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose own is only exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven. The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you. A reading from Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that in the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. If you would, pray with me. Oh God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, we are going to do something that's a little brave. Probably for many of you, it's going to feel a bit odd and uncomfortable in this spacious, beautiful chapel. You might even think this preacher has lost her marbles. In just a moment, we're going to talk to each other. Yes, actually talk in a sermon. If you know me, you know that at my congregation, Emmaus Way, I preach dialogically more Sundays than not. My congregants shape the sermon in real time with me. And we're going to do a hint of dialogue now. When those who want to can speak into this sermon, allowing each other's spoken words and thoughts to ring in our ears and form our hearts as we practice together what it means to bear witness. After the question is asked, if you'd like to respond, I ask, as you're able, to please stand and project loudly. It is quite a large space. I'm going to repeat what I can hear, but know that I probably will not hear everything. That is okay. I invite you, from wherever you are sitting, to witness what is spoken around you. Here we go. Are you ready? When you hear the word witness, what image, word, or brief definition bubbles to the surface for you? When you hear the word witness, what image, word, or brief definition bubbles to the surface for you? Go, stand up. Just stand on up and proclaim. How the music is a witness to how that connects us to God and one another, of those that have gone before us and after us. Others, witness, what do you think? Stand up and project loudly. Courtrooms, truth tellers, what else? That was great projection back there. Y'all, see, it's not that hard. We can do this. A couple more. When you hear witness, what image or word? The movie with Harrison Ford. Had no idea that existed. I guess my age is showing. What else? Taking a life in your hands. Standing alongside friend or stranger. Any others? Sorry, will you repeat that? Being a parent, yes, witnessing young ones.
For me, that brings anxiety.
Anxiety from past trauma of an evangelical life and how witness could be used in ways that felt abusive and harmful. One or two more. Will you repeat that? Yes, thank you. A willingness to be theologically incorrect. Wow. A lot surfaced up, bubbled up for us, y'all. A wide breadth of what witness can mean. And today we bear witness to all of those aspects of the word. We bear witness together as we steward the truth. We bear witness using what is seen and known as evidence for how we build and continue to author authentic narratives. And this Christmas Sunday, we bear witness to one who ushered and continues to usher in such an authentic narrative, Jesus the Christ. Emmanuel, God with us, babe in a manger, son of Mary, Lord of all. But we also bear witness to the joys and sorrows of this life, to the horrors of the principalities and powers, to the very pain of this world. The players in today's gospel story knew something about the pains of the world. They knew something about bearing witness to the joys and sorrows of life. They knew something about the complexity of witness. They knew a bit about the evil of principalities and powers. They had seen and heard about the killing of innocents and structures oppressing the least, the last, the lost. creating chaos and overwhelming senses of hopelessness. Yet, in the face of empire, in the very face of a complex witness, Simeon, Anna, Mary, and Joseph bear witness as faithful people following the laws and customs that day in the temple. 40 days out from Jesus' birth and now in Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph come both to redeem Jesus as the firstborn son and for Mary to be purified after giving birth. As Mary and Joseph bustle around that temple with two doves and a small babe in arms, they run into Simeon and then Anna, aging prophets bearing witness to the baby in their midst. As Simeon's voice breaks, holding, cradling Jesus, not only is he seeing, looking at the Christ child, he's remembering all the years lived and desperate hopes prayed, bursting into a song of peace, redemption, and hope for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. Simeon trusted that God would send relief, and what Simeon sees in Jesus is deliverance. He knows that salvation, light, and glory are coming, but knows he will not be around for its completion. Simeon bears witness to the complex revolution of what this Christ child means for the world and also to the weary, bleary-eyed postpartum mother when he proclaims, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed and a sword will pierce your very soul." And then there's Anna, hanging out in the courtyard of the temple because that is the only place that women were allowed, waiting and waiting more all these years. On this day, praising God and speaking to all gathered about the one so many were looking for as the hope of Jerusalem. She speaks especially to the brokenhearted and downtrodden gathered, the pained, weary, desperately desiring ones at the temple, living under the oppression of empire, waiting for light, love, justice to break forth. It's as if Simeon and Anna knew through their decades of faith, religious obligation, and embodied practice about the power of bearing witness and being open to the one in front of you. The Mishnah, the first major written collection of oral Torah and rabbinic literature, gives a teaching for what someone is supposed to do when going to the temple in the time of Simeon, Anna, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. They were to ascend the steps of the temple, enter through this arched entryway, and go to the right. They would walk around the courtyard and exit the way that they came, except for someone who's brokenhearted. The brokenhearted are to go to the temple to enter the arched entryway, but they are to go to the left. And every single person coming from the right would have to stop and look at the people on the left, see them, bear witness to them, slow down and ask, "What happened to you?" The person on the left might say, "My loved one just died. I'm worried sick about my kid. I found a lump. I lost my job. I'm weary from chronic illness. I can't get out of bed because I just can't shake this fog. And the people walking from right to left would have to offer a blessing to them before they could continue on their journey. Rabbi Sharon Brous says this of the profound practice: if you spend your whole life dreaming of going up on this sacred pilgrimage to the holiest site, the holiest places, on the holiest of days, and doing your circle around the temple courtyard, the last thing you want to do is stop and ask the poor guy coming toward you, what's his story? And yet, central to faith is precisely to see this other person in their suffering, to ask them what happened, and then give a blessing. But what happens when that close, proximate, physical witness doesn't exactly show up? In 2020, I felt the absence of witness as I gave birth to our daughter 6 weeks into the pandemic. The entire pregnancy was fraught, and most of our hopes and plans for how our beloved community could show up completely shifted when the world shut down. No final in-person church gathering to bless us, no visitors at the hospital over a multi-day labor, no loved ones praying with us in the waiting room as our daughter had heart surgery at 23 hours old, no partner's hand to hold in the PCICU due to COVID restrictions, only one parent allowed at a time. These absences were only the beginning. For almost 10 months, our family holed up into our home, except for our daughter's medical appointments. Our inability to draw near to our beloved community still feels like a palpable pain at times. I carry the grief and loneliness in my bones from not having a host of close physical people bearing witness to us in this most majestic, terrifying time of our lives. I still cannot shake that absence almost 4 years later. If mothering a medically complex child has revealed anything, it's that we cannot act like living at times doesn't hurt like hell. And if we're the folks on the left, we desperately want the people on the right to see us, to slow down, to lovingly, boldly ask, what happened? And offer a blessing. In the temple that day, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were seen by Simeon and Anna. So were the countless others gathered. Simeon and Anna's offering of blessings gives us a window into the power of bearing witness, in being known, in others drawing near when life feels so holy, yet precarious and painful. These old prophets, shaped by years of walking to the right, stopping on the left, had significant practice in bearing witness. But we are not as easily positioned to do so, to slow down, to witness, to really see one another and tell about it, to even see Jesus the Christ, God with us. Maybe it's because we're exhausted and despairing, held captive by notions of scarcity, individuality, and the systems that oppress and exhaust us. Maybe it's because our imaginations are still trapped in thinking that God really only comes in shiny cradles, in babies that don't cry, in the most curated, beautiful parts of our lives, rather than in the rubble of Bethlehem and the carnage that is living. Whatever it is, too often we are a people longing rather than a people witnessing. People who keep looking for the Christ child out there rather than recognizing that maybe, just maybe, the Christ child, God with us, is right here, in the very depths in which we find ourselves, no matter what. Maybe, just maybe, this Christ child is so near. It is piercing our very souls too. Fittingly, tragically, a model for what bearing witness calls us to is found in the words of Palestinian poet, activist, and professor Rifat Alarir, killed this month in Gaza. "If I must die, you must live to tell my story, to sell my things, to buy a piece of cloth and some strings, make it white with a long tail, so that a child somewhere in Gaza, while looking heaven in the eye, awaiting his dad who left in a blaze, and bid no one farewell, not even his flesh, not even to himself, sees the kite, my kite you made, flying up above, and thinks for a moment an angel is there, bringing back love. If I must die, let it bring hope, let it be a tale." Like Rifat, Simeon and Anna bore witness to suffering, to their own suffering, the suffering of those they'd walked past and alongside, and the suffering at the hands of the Roman occupation and empire. And yet, Simeon and Anna also bore witness to love that day in the temple, the kind of love that upends everything. A love that brings salvation for all people, a love in the depths of the human experience, a love that frees us and holds us still, a love that redeems and brings life where there is none, a love where nothing is lost, a love that causes all creation to sing, a love lamenting brokenness, yet a love persistently turning us toward hope. A love that flies like a long white kite tail in the air, groaning for ceasefire. A love bearing witness to the fullness of all that is and all that can be. Bearing witness to this kind of love, this love of God with us, this love of the Christ child, is risky and surprising, coming when we don't always expect it. Bearing witness to this love builds new, authentic narratives and invites us to never forget to ask, what happened? What happens if we dare to bear witness in this way? Like Simeon and Anna, bearing witness to the brokenhearted suffering while simultaneously bearing witness to love's very self, bearing witness because we understand there's no way forward than paying attention, flipping the powers, and being forever transformed by a tiny babe born in a manger, consecrated in a temple, Jesus the Christ, who changed and changes everything. Even when, especially when, that means bearing witness from the point of our brokenness and the world's pain, bringing all our questions and uncertainties and doubt, all our feelings of inadequacy and wondering, daring to be like those gathered in that temple long ago. Some of us brokenhearted on the left, others of us on the right. All of us slowing down to pay attention, to ask where it hurts, to bless. Knowing that even if we may not see the fullness of God, God's redemption and peace in our lifetime, the same God who was at work long ago through the witness of two aging prophets is at work now, in us and through us, beckoning us to bear witness still. Because, beloveds, even though wars still rage, oppression continues, and broken hearts persist, here in the midst of it, God is with us. As close as our own breath, as present as our hunger, our pain, our pleasure, our touch. In a world swirling with chaos, salvation is prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation and glory for all has come. Christ is here. Bear witness. Bear witness. Bear witness.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, we marvel in all the wonders of your being. We gaze out upon your creation as your creation and stand in awe. You created all and called all good. You are more powerful than even our minds are able to understand. And you offer us more grace and love than we have ever deserved. As the end of this year is rapidly ticking away, and the dawn of a new peaks over the horizon, may you remain steadfast in our lives. You are the guiding spirit in all of our lives, blowing us, nudging us, pushing us even closer to you. May this rising year present new and more opportunities for us to draw closer to you, and may we love and serve you to the best of our abilities. Lord, in your mercy. Triune God, Prince of Peace, we have sung the songs of peace and love of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, the peacemaker. We've sung the words that his gospel is peace, that the chains shall be broken. For the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. And yet, Lord, Wars rage on. Oppression is reaching an all-new high. And we're placing chains upon people at rates higher than ever before. May we mean the words that we sing. May we be empowered by you to strive for peace, to love dangerously as you did for us. May we be beacons of your light in this world that is filled with darkness. May your love flow through us so powerfully that we cannot do anything but love our neighbor. And may it propel us into loving others even more. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Abba, the Waymaker, we pray as broken people, standing before you, arms raised, crying out that we need you. Humble us all to recognize our dependency on you and assure us that in our times of need, struggle, and anxiety, that you are there with us. Lord, no matter how strong we are, no matter how financially empowered we are, no matter how self-dependent we think we are, shake us up. Help us to notice that we can't even walk without holding your hand. And Lord, we pray that you guide those with strength, wealth, and power to use those tools for the betterment of your kingdom. Lord, you are with us. We know this. But there might be times in this new year that we might feel like you are millions of miles away. Come close, Lord. Grant your faithful servants the comfort of your love in the highs and the lows that will come. Be with us, Lord. Show us the way. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, what a privilege it is to be able to offer our prayers to you. Hear these prayers and all the prayers in the heart of all your beautiful people. We offer all these in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. During today's offering, we ask that you locate the attendance pads that are in each pew in the center aisle, and we ask that you fill those out and share those with your neighbors. We want to know that you are here, and we love to connect people to ministries, and this is one of those ways we are able to do that. All of today's cash offerings and checks written to Duke University Chapel will be used to support mission trips that are sent from the chapel. Out of gratitude for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us offer our lives and our gifts to God.